Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation.
Hello, facilitators. Welcome back. I am guessing that this topic is not so much for the newbies, but just in case you're new, let me introduce myself. I'm Marcy Melzer. I'm an intuitive speech-language pathologist and natural functional speech and social skills, behavior, all of that, facilitation expert. And I equip and empower parents and caregivers because you are the best. And that's why we're here today. So we're going to be talking about finding your facilitation mission. And before we get into all that, I just want to remind you that my holiday speech facilitation challenge calendar is the perfect opportunity for you to escalate your facilitation and rapidly accelerate your progress, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Let me tell you, pull this back just a second. Let me tell you just a little bit about this challenge for those of you who have already signed up, or maybe if you're considering and you haven't signed up yet. I did put it out on the channel to let you know that it's coming. Starts on December 1st, but let me let you know how effective this is going to be and how it will actually tie in to the information that I'm going to be talking about today, which is how to find and execute your facilitation challenge mission with your lay talker. Okay, so here's how we're going to do it. The challenge begins on December 1st, which is tomorrow, and it runs for 24 days. So each day focuses on a different message that lay talkers usually communicate nonverbally. Now, facilitators know this is how it rolls in your family. This is how you communicate. Most of the time, they communicate things and you guess. So what you're going to do is you're going to be able to download every day. You'll go to the challenge calendar, and every day a new bit of information and a plan is going to be available for you. And you're going to learn exactly what influence it takes to facilitate the accurate spoken language that is needed for the lay talker to shift from whatever behavior they're using to communicate that message. Like this little guy is literally showing off to get people to watch him, right? If your lay talker is using these behaviors, you're going to learn exactly how to facilitate the spoken language they need to move them forward into the next level, you know, to shift the behavior into speech. And then in each download you get, you're going to get this little PDF that says, here's what has to change. Everyone has this text on it, and that one is access to a video. So once you watch the video and you do all of that, the page 2 of the PDF you're going to get is the plan to connect, teach, and practice each message functionally so the lay talker will pick it up and make the shift from using behavior to communicate that message to speech. And this is how you sign up. You go to wavesofcommunication.com and you look for the red buttons. The red buttons are all about the holiday challenge. So when you click on this red button, then you're going to be able to sign up and have access to the entire program. Now, let's get into today's topic. So we're going to be talking today about finding your facilitation challenge mission. And I am talking about this as a strategy. For those of you who have been working with my facilitation so far, you've gotten some increased attention and focus, and you're ready to take things to the next level. And what you want to do is set up the environment, situation, opportunity, I call them, to set up the facilitation experience that your child will tap into later in the future. Because this is, you know, it's like when you go to learn a class, a cooking class, and you learn the recipe and you see the example and you do it, and then you go home and you try it on your own. That's the idea here. All the things in the program are going to help you do it. And today, you're going to learn how to pick the specific things in your life, in your child's life, that they need to shift their behavior into speech so that they're more effective to communicate with everybody. And these little missions are like your mission to learn about talking about this. So they're going to be different experiences, opportunities, like I said, that you're going to be able to take advantage of to give the little push, to give the little coach, to give the little extra that your late talker needs to put forth the effort they need to make real progress and accelerate your progress. This is how you're going to do it. So let's get into today's strategies. Okay. So again, we're looking to find your mission, and I'll tell you here what we're going to cover. Let's see. Is this slide moves forward? Get it to catch up with me. Great. Okay. So you're going to learn to use challenges and missions to elevate and accelerate speech development. That's what we're talking about here. And today on this video, I'm going to first talk about the importance of advancing your facilitation. If you keep doing the same stuff, you're not going to get farther along. Remember, we need to facilitate constant progress, constant moving forward. And then I'm giving you 4 tips to motivate the acceptance of challenge, because, you know, that's it. Without acceptance of the challenge, the late talker is not, it's not going to go anywhere. And then, of course, you need 5 steps to choose your challenge mission. That's what this video is all about, so that you know that you're going to pick the right mission that's going to take you skyrocketing your progress. And you're going to know what to do when the mission is complete. So that's what we're going to be covering on this video. Stay tuned as we get into everything. So, all right. So I have already given you, this is for those of you who are already working, right? I've already given you processes in these 2 videos to use storytelling as a way to connect with the late talker and remind them that you're here to teach them about their life and the spoken language that they need. And then also problem solving to help you see progress and quickly move toward functional speech by adding structure and adding rules and all those things that are the things that we talk about, right? And hopefully you're realizing that if you have been starting to see this progress, now is the time to accelerate your child's effort. Don't wait for them to catch up to where you are. You've got to keep moving ahead. And the way you're going to do it is by presenting them with a fun mission. And this is important because advancement, we're talking about the acceleration beyond the new words your kiddo just started saying. Like, how do we turn those words into sentences and conversation that they can use with everybody? The advancement of anything only happens when the late talkers accept the responsibility to do their own work. And we're going to be talking a lot about this word responsibility today, because that's what challenge is. We all have our part to play, and the mission won't work unless we all live up to our responsibility, right? And your job as a facilitator is to give the responsibility for communicating, because you're facilitating speech and social skills. So you've got to give that responsibility back to the late talker, because they've been giving it to you. They've been doing these behaviors and stuff so that you can guess what their ideas are, what they want, what they think, what their opinions are, all that stuff. You've been guessing because they've been performing for that purpose, just to make you guess their ideas. Now, you've got to give that back to these late talkers, give that responsibility to communicate back to them, or you'll be interpreting and guessing all their whole life, right? Because remember, they put you in that position to be that interpreter. So the best way to facilitate responsibility is to demonstrate the power of choice and responsibility, meaning I am able to do this, right? We have responsibility. We feel this ability to respond, right? When we trust what we know and we feel is right. If we second guess ourselves, if we don't believe it, if we don't trust other people, or the other person's influence doesn't make sense to us, right? Then we're not going to feel response able. But when we trust what we know in our heart and in our gut and in our brain and feel is right, and then we take action based on what we know, using our own previous knowledge and wits. And this is what you want to teach this lay talker, is this is how you improve. You don't improve by waiting for me to tell you everything. You improve by accepting missions and pushing forward, right? This is what we're trying to do. And this acceptance of a challenge mission, you have to motivate it as the facilitator, because this child will only accept. They're only going to sign up for missions when you see a clear promise. They can see a clear promise that there's going to be a good value for their effort, because we are asking them to work hard. Harder, actually, than they have been working. This is a challenge mission, okay? So here are the four tips to motivate acceptance of a challenge mission. And I'm going to pull this back, because this is a really, these motivators are what parents use anyway to get kids to accept responsibility, to help out, to be social, to consider other people. And these responsibilities, these social responsibilities that we have for communication and social skills, that's what helps us, motivates us to learn the language we need to live up to those responsibilities. So how do you get the kiddo to accept the responsibility in the first place? You have to get them to own that mission in their heart, to decide that it's a good value, it's a good idea for them to do this thing, for one of these four reasons, right, is why they're gonna think it's a good idea. Number one, if this thing proves that it will be a positive experience, hey, this is gonna be fun, you're gonna like it, it's gonna be enjoyable, you're gonna learn something, all the things that are positive to that child. It could be positive, I need to escape from noise and feel more calm, because that could also be the positive experience you're going for. Remember, more positive than negative. I like this place to be. I want this experience. Number two, this experience, this challenge mission that you're going to set up is going to give them the opportunity to show off their superpowers. So everybody wants the opportunity to show off our superpowers, especially when, as a result of us working hard to show off our superpowers, something positive happens as a result. So that's what these challenge missions are all about. And then empowering this child to help others. This also motivates us to try hard and go outside of our comfort zone, because we love that other person, or we feel sorry for that other person, or we feel more privileged, or we, you know, it just feels good to help other people, right? That's why I do it. And then number four, you're going to offer your help in a team experience. So this positive, fun thing that they get to show off their best talents in and might even help other people is something they don't have to do alone. You're not going to make them do anything. You're in this together. In fact, this is your idea that you're going to present to them and invite them to join you in the challenge. So these four things, like I said, you're going to have nobody does anything outside of their comfort zone without some motivation. And, you know, a lot of people think that lay talkers will do things. They're so self-motivated. This is the ones who get misdiagnosed with autism. They think they're all self-generated and self-motivated. They don't care about what other people do or how other people feel. But most of you watching this know that's not true with your lay talker. In fact, even lay talkers with autism spectrum disorder are very empathetic. They feel other people's feelings a lot. And so when you give them a challenge to regulate that, like, oh, someone else isn't feeling good, if I can help them feel better, then maybe we'll all feel better, right? These challenges have a purpose, and the purpose has value based on literally these four things. So that's what's really going to be important for you to see. Now, there's a process, of course, to get into all this. So you can screenshot this one as the slide moves forward, just waiting for it to catch up. And here we're moving forward into the five-step process to choose your mission, to use what you know about this child to help them choose a challenge and commit, right? So I've got this process pretty detailed for you. And step one is that you're going to identify favorite experiences that show promise for improvement with effort. So these could be things, everybody, that your late talker is doing. They already know how to do pretty well. Remember, we're going to get them to show off their superpowers, and we're advancing or accelerating skills. These challenges aren't to learn something brand new. They're to elevate, advance, or accelerate the progress that the late talker's already interested in doing with these activities, okay? So what you need to do then is to identify these situations, and I've given you some categories here to help you. So their favorite movement activity, their favorite relaxation or entertainment activity, favorite personal care activity. You can also ask yourself when you observe your child, what has the child been testing 3+ times a week? Are they testing physics? Are they seeing what happens if they, you know, like I said, whatever they're testing, if I run outside, if I pour things, if I spill water, if I yell and scream, what have they been testing? Because they're testing because they're trying it out. They're putting their effort into something. And you want to, you know, jump on that and get them to keep putting their effort into things that they're already interested in testing. So that's what that one's for. And then what do you want to create that you don't have now? It could be food, it could be decor, it could be, you know, growing plants and food, things like that. What kind of place do you want to visit in the next month? And what does it take to go there? Like all that stuff. What are the, right now at this level, we're just coming up with ideas to choose from, because you want to look at all the different aspects of your child's life to decide which aspect they're focused on now, because some kids are focused on one area or another. We're going to talk about that in the next one. And then this last one is, again, who do you want to meet up with? Who do you want to see? Do you want to go to a party? Do you want, again, these are the social experiences, right? Because these are all the aspects that we need communication to improve. You might need things, you might need assistance, you might need experiences, you might need to go places, you might need stuff, and they're coming around to you already to find out the what's. They might even be able to say the what's. They know what their movement activity is. They'll tell you out or go or ride or bike, you know. They'll tell you with their single words, video or sleep or tired or no when you want to go and do something, right? They'll tell you if their personal care, they'll go and do it. They'll be hanging out in the bathroom and looking in the mirror and playing with the toothpaste and stuff like that if that's what they're into, or they're watching those things on YouTube videos, you know, other people who are putting on makeup or things like that. You know, when they're testing and doing these things, this is, again, this is what motivates this child to learn and advance their skills. So here are this, the first step to identify the favorite experiences. Okay. So first you have to know your child. Remember, that's the whole strategy here. You use what you know about this child. Okay. And then step two is that you're going to choose 3 challenges. And I've just given you some ideas. I was already giving you a few in the last slide that take the late talker out of their comfort zone for a better time, more advanced, faster, accelerated, something. And so I've categorized them like motor things could be riding a bike, learning a dance, having a race or sport competition, because these are challenges, right? Remember, what do you want? Do you want to get somewhere you are not now? Advancement, right? And so these are things that maybe your child is not doing well, but they are already interested in. So reading books, playing an instrument, taking a walk, telling stories, that helps them learn new vocabulary and new patterns and new situations that they enjoy and they have a lot of control over, right? When you read, you choose what you read. When you play an instrument, you choose what you play. Remember that choice comes into play here. Fashion, makeup, water play, be like grown-ups, pretend you're shaving like daddy. Physical experiments, like I said, what happens? How fast does it pour? What kind of mess does it make? What do these colors mix together and turn into, you know? Gardening, animal care, and training. And all of those things take processes and take these experiences to the next level. Cooking, dancing, art, building a home, decorating is the creative avenue. map reading, nature exploration, and cultural practices. Those are the experiences for getting out into the world. What do you need? What skills do you need to make sure you know you're going to the right place? Or even reading metro, you know, or whatever the subway is called in your area, reading the maps for the trains and the buses that you're taking. And then there's faith practice, family parties, and helping others in need, because we do these things because they help other people. So we need to learn all of these things for a reason. And those reasons fit with those four categories that I talked about before. So you can screenshot this and choose any kind of challenge that you want to take. But then step three, this is very, very important. You need to show a demonstration of someone who has achieved a high level of skill or ability so that the child can use, or you can use this person as the example or the mentor. I want to be like the professional football player that I see. I want to be like my grandma who can, you know, make this pottery better than anyone. I want to cook like my mom. I want to, you know, run as fast as my dad. I want to do these things as well as somebody who's an expert. And this is a very important skill, because as you're deciding, because you haven't really decided, you've got these three things that you've chosen to offer as choices, and let them explore each of those three things. And then step four, when they make a choice, and you're going to let them choose with the promise that you'll support whatever goal they choose to go for. So here's the dad over here on the left side, who's holding the bike and holding steady and making sure she's safe and giving all this stuff. But this little girl wants to be so good at riding the bike that she's doing it with no hands. So she will not stop trying, and he will not stop teaching until he literally is all hands on here on the left and all hands off here on the right. So this little girl has the experience of doing whatever she does, right? And you've got to let them know exactly what they've got to do. So once they choose it, you're going to say, all right, whatever. You want to reach for the stars? You want to climb Mount Everest? Let's go. So here is the trick. Step five is the challenge contract, right? Because it doesn't turn into a mission until it's organized into a mission plan, okay? So once you identify what the challenge mission is, the goal, I want to be able to ride my bike with no hands. I want to be able to cook all by myself. We want to bring grandma a cup of tea because she's cold. Whatever the mission is, big ones or little ones, you have to make sure the expectations are clear. And here's how you do it. What is the mission goal? You talk about these things with the lay talker. It does not matter how, you know, low level they are. If you are putting them into a mission, you've got to explain the mission so they understand. So it starts with the goal. And then who and what do you need to help you succeed? We've got to get help from this person. We need approval from mommy. We need to put our shoes on to go outside. We need, you know, something to do. There are requirements, and maybe there's things that will help us. The tools, the right tools, the better things. Remember, this is where your ideas as a facilitator come in. And then you find out the obstacles. Okay, well, first we've got to overcome this challenge, because remember, these are things that your child isn't good at yet, and they're outside of their comfort zone. You've got to get up off the couch if you're feeling lazy, if you know you're getting ready to take a walk every morning to increase your exercise. You know what I mean? Whatever you're choosing. And then the specific effort, what is needed from each of you? You're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. We talked about that in the problem-solving strategies as well. When the lay talker understands what's expected of them, and they understand what they can expect from you, this is where the challenge contract becomes cemented, because now everybody feels trusting again. Okay, you're only giving me jobs that are my superhero jobs, and you're going to do the stuff that's too hard for me, but you know how to do. That's how a team works. I'm good at this. You're good at that. And then how are you going to solve potential problems? Because you know See, the thing is, when you're a facilitator, you know more about these things than the child. You're trying to get them into jobs where they are self-motivated to really work hard and elevate their skills. And so you give them nice things to try that they want to try, but you have to really get behind them to be that, you know, pusher, to be that coach, to be that cheerleader, to be the one that gets them to do it on their own. And the way you do is by demonstrating that when it's time for you to do your part, that's how you do. You show up to give 150% of your time. And as a speech and social skills facilitator, you got to explain what's going on. Explain what you're doing. Explain what they're doing. Bring all the behaviors out into spoken language. So there's a narrative going on about the challenge. Because think about when you watch kids' shows, this is why kids' shows are structured this way in little missions, the Paw Patrol or, you know, the Power Pets or, you know, whatever. They've always got some problem to solve and then they've got a mission or there's something they really want to do. Like, I want to win the contest or I want to win the race or I want to get the top marks at my school or something like that. Remember, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about struggling to get out of our problems. We talked about that on previous videos. This challenge, this motivation challenge is to push your child up the hill, to get behind them and say, now you know that you can trust me to help you solve your problems and connect with you and teach you language that's valuable to you. Now you got to step up. Now you got to put in your own responsibility. And that is demonstrated always by the facilitator. Yeah, it's hard work to get other people to do things. And you're moving outside of your comfort zone too, because remember, when you stay in your comfort zone and keep guessing and, you know, oh, because you know, as your child evolves, you'll just evolve your guessing. Oh, now he's, you know, I have moms tell me they see kids, you know, playing with pouring out stuff or whatever. And they're like, yeah, he's been doing that all week, or tearing paper into little bits and flying them. Their new habits that they do, these little tests that they do. These are the signs. When your kids get into repetitive behaviors of making patterns and doing things repetitively, they're testing to see what things are going on. So it's really going to be important that you follow those tests and be the one to say, let's turn that testing into a functional challenge where we can test your superpower abilities or knowledge or the skills you're getting into new activities and things that you have. So identifying the experiences that your child enjoys, but that keeps them in their comfort zone and you know they could work harder to have better experience with. And then you choose three options that will excite your child to try. And then, because remember, you want to give them choice and control as much as possible because you're expecting them to show up and do their best with all of their abilities. And then you're going to let them choose the challenge activity and draw up your contract after you have found demonstrations so that you can see that it is completely possible for them to get this challenge because look how so-and-so did it. You can be like so-and-so, right? And that's the idea here. Now, after the challenge is complete, and the mission is over, you met your goal, it's important that you process the experience by describing all of the work you did, the work they did, the work everyone did in problem solving and trying new things and going outside the comfort zone to achieve your result. And you want to explain exactly how this challenge has helped the child grow into new abilities. So they used to be superpower at this, and now they're even better at riding a bike or running fast or dancing or cooking or whatever this challenge got them doing more. And they helped a bunch of people too. And then identify specific reasons that this challenge will elevate the child's future experience. Now you can ride your bike anytime you want. Now you can go help grandma every time. Now grandma sees you as her helper, the one who can make her tea. You're going to turn into a cook in the future. You're going to be a professional football player. Like, this is how the kids start to think about how to keep moving, because you're going to invite them to create new challenge missions all the time. Once they've had a great successful challenge mission, now you know the process. Okay, what do we need to improve next? That's how it goes. Now, remember, my holiday speech facilitation calendar is the perfect opportunity for you to engage in missions every single day. And it is a super easy way. I literally send you emails every day to remind you to come back to the calendar. Go now to wavesofcommunication.com. Click the red button. There's only one red button. There's two of them. They both go the same place for the holiday challenge. And once you click this button, you're going to be directed over to this page where it explains what's going on, and you're going to sign up with your email for access to the calendar. And that's how this is going to work. And that's how you are going to work with me. You'll get an example, you get an experience to practice working with me. And if you get into the challenge and you start seeing, wait a minute, when I connect and teach and practice the right way to say this nonverbal message for a week or a day or however long you dig into that strategy, you'll see the shift happen right before your eyes. That's the whole point of this mission, is the mission that I'm asking you to accept, the holiday challenge mission, is to be brave enough to return every day, check out those things, those ideas that I have for you, the things that the lay talker is saying with their behavior, and how can you change it into the spoken language that you need, whatever spoken language you use. I see that. So we've got viewers from Pakistan, we've got viewers from India, we've got viewers from all over the world. And I know that you're not speaking just one language. As a matter of fact, the mom that I talked about today, Harika, she had a question about multilingual facilitation. And of course, there's a video in my library to talk about that. So this is how it works, folks. It's not as easy as sending your kid off to therapy. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to see the kind of progress that you want to see, even if the therapy is helping. Great. I mean, if you found an amazing therapist who's facilitating with you and they're working hard to connect with your child and they're asking you questions and teaching you things that you can do at home and you're seeing progress all the time, this challenge will help you elevate and escalate even that. So if progress is slow, this will work to get you on track. If progress is fast, this is like gasoline on the fire. There's no reason that this won't work for every single parent, because you're just response able. That's what in this challenge you have to be. Response able to interpret and understand the child's nonverbal messages and then offer them the opportunity and challenge to learn the speech they need to make the shift from that behavior into the speech that they need. And what's great about when that happens is it doesn't go away. Like, this is learning that grows on top of each other, on top of each other. New experiences, if you work hard to all the work hard phrases that you have, you'll be able to learn all of that. So, all right, everybody, I have a knock on my door, which means it's time for me to stop this video. Thank you so much for joining me again today for another live video on the Waves of Communication platform. And I'll see you all on the next one. Bye for now.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.